Please stand as you are able as we sing our opening hymn. Oh, I haven't got words for the opening hymn. Oh. Let us build a house where love can dwell. Gracious God, in order that we children of earth might discern good from evil, you sent your Son to be the light of the world. As the light of Christ shines upon us, may we learn what pleases you and live in truth and goodness. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Well, the fourth Sunday in Lent is also known as Mothering Sunday. Traditionally, and particularly in the English church and in many places around the world, it was a day where people went back to the church where they were baptized, or maybe to their local cathedral, but Mother Church. And it's also become a day, became a day where we celebrate the mothering of people, people who have acted in a mothering role for us. It's also the day in the middle of the season of Lent where you could have a bit of a party, and simnel cake is very much part of that, and we will have a simnel cake to share after the service. And I've probably told you this before, there's 11 marzipan balls there representing the disciples, not counting Judas, who doesn't get a marzipan ball. So let's pray, have a prayer for Mothering Sunday. Loving God, you have given us the right to be called children of God. Help us to show your love in our homes, that they may be places of love, security, and truth. We thank you for the family of the church. We pray that all may find in her their true home, that lonely, marginalized, rejected may be welcomed and loved in the name of Jesus. And as your Son was born into the family of Mary and Joseph, bless all parents and all who care for children. Strengthen those families living under stress. May your love be known where no human love is found. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's have the first reading.
Here you go. Is it not this one?
That's reading from
a reading from the first book of Samuel.
Okay. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the
Bethlehemite.
The Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I have named you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah.
For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand as we sing our next hymn, "The Lord is My Shepherd"? Our gospel reading today is another long one like last week to do. Please feel free to sit down for the reading. A reading from the Gospel of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it is somebody like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." They kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of a man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you said was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. This man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I have come into this world for judgments, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, this year, as our lectionary readings take us through the season of Lent, I've been particularly conscious of it as a journey, as I've said a few times already. And today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, our journey through the story of God and humanity, the Old Testament, has reached the story of the beginning of the story of David, a key figure in the Old Testament. And then in our Gospels, we have Jesus healing a man born blind, as John tells the story. And I think the thing that these two stories have in common, we are going parallel stories, but there's something in common here. And the common thing is that they show that God's understanding, God's way, is often contrary to the way the world sees it, and often the world doesn't see it. It's like our picture in the snow earlier. And when they do get a glimpse, sometimes it can be quite challenging, the way that God seems to be working in the world. In John chapter 9, which was, yes, another very long reading, this is explaining what Jesus had said back in the previous chapter. "I am the light of the world," says Jesus. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of light." If you see the light of Jesus, things change. It's all about discerning, what this means. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's challenging, and sometimes it's seen to be unwelcome. But think first about the reading from 1 Samuel, the day I read so well earlier. This is about discerning God's way. But it was surprising to those who were there. Just to give you a bit of context, this is in the day of the kingdom of Israel, and the Israelites had asked the prophet Samuel to anoint them a king. Everybody else had a king. We want a king as well. We want someone who will fight our battle, lead us into battle. So Samuel anoints Saul, and Saul certainly looked like a king. It said, it described it as tall and handsome, the sort of person that you'd want to be king, you'd want to actually lead you into battle. Well, he did, and won several victories. But Saul didn't follow the command of God. He didn't see the picture, and then he actually lied about what he did. And so he became depressed and oppressive. And so God tells Samuel that no, Saul is not really following, he's not really a king. Go and find someone else. That would be a very dangerous thing to do. Saul is there, he is king, he has the armies to back him up, and Samuel is told, go with your horn of anointing on, anoint another king. Samuel wasn't very keen on doing this, but Samuel did see God's picture, and he did. And so he ends up going in Bethlehem and finds the house of Jesse. And again, another counterintuitive moment. Samuel still thinks, if you're going to be king, you're going to be tall and handsome. every of the sons of Jesse that God said, no, not this person. The one chosen is the one who wasn't even at the event they were offering sacrifices. It was David, a young boy out keeping the sheep. And to everyone's surprise, probably Samuel's as well, that was the one that God chose. That's a motive we see, that for people, choosing people who are unimportant or unpowerful, that can actually do really powerful things. That's such a story. It's actually worked its way into culture and stories that we tell. Think of Cinderella. Cinderella, the one who didn't even get invited to the ball, but ends up meeting her prince. Or Steve Rogers, the weakling, who ends up being Captain America. These stories keep on in our imagination and keep with us. But David, it took a while for David's influence to grow, and much of the next chapters tell about that, about the strain between Saul and David. But David is a really important person in the story of the Old Testament. He was a great ruler. Even though sometimes he did bad things, he repented and came back to God. He was in tune with God, understood the emotions and how to be a person of God, and he wrote a lot of psalms. We credited with writing a lot of psalms. We sang a version of the Lord's My Shepherd, the 23rd Psalm, earlier. And God makes a promise to David. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who should come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He should build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. So the promise of somebody who you wouldn't have expected ends up being the lineage of someone who will actually fulfill the story of God. And we know the story didn't fully fulfill for another 1,000 years when another story is told in Bethlehem and Jesus is born. We then turn to our other story today, the story from John chapter 9. Again, this is a story of God's understanding differing from the understanding of the world. At the beginning of the story, we have this perennial question of suffering and sin. There was a commonly held belief that there was a link between these. If you sin, you will suffer, or if you're suffering, you must have sinned. And they thought that if you sin, somebody had to have done this. It either was the parents. This man was born blind because his parents had done something bad, and that was a belief there. Or the man had done something bad, presumably in the womb. But there was a great debate over this, a great questions over this. But Jesus effectively says, you're looking at it the wrong way. It doesn't matter. Nobody sinned. This is not a question to ask. Things just happen in the world. What is important is this man is blind. What is the response? And the response is that we must do the work of God and heal the man. But this then messes up with people's understanding of the world, their understanding of reality. What happened is counterintuitive to them. They know how the world works. And when God works in a different way, it's hard to recognize. In fact, even his neighbors don't recognize the man. To him, perhaps he's always been the blind man who sits at the road of side of the road and begged. And again, June will sing us a song, maybe, no, later. There's a song there. They neighbors can't believe that it's him, even though he keeps repeating, yes, I'm me. I'm a person you know, I can see, I was blind and now I see. And there is a hymn in that, and we will hear. Man knows what he says, what he knows. The neighbors can't believe it. They take him to religious authorities, and their worldview say, well, this can't have happened, it's a Sabbath. You can't be doing healings on a Sabbath. This must be wrong. And they argue amongst themselves, they can't see that God would work in a different way to their understanding. And so the story goes on. They try and persuade the man by for his family to ask his family, well, you tell us, was he really born blind? And parents have to be very, very careful. If they say too much, then they run the risk of being thrown out of the community. So they are forced in a way to try and walk this line between what they know God has done and how to live in society. And that is a perennial problem of us. It's still a problem today of how to actually be faithful to what we know we see of God. We're still being loving and being part of our neighborhood. So the next time around, the religious authorities don't even bother with question for question, demand that a man changes his story. Tell us he's a sinner, they say. And they try and catch him out. Tell us the story again. Can they catch him out? But it doesn't produce what they're looking for. The man is sure. He has seen God. He has seen Jesus. He says, I know he is a prophet. On the other hand, the Pharisees are still certain that this is absolutely impossible. The conversation continues. The mockery of the healing continues. And eventually, they just cast the man out. Pharisees probably will pretend that this incident never occurred. They want to protect their way of looking at things. But for the healed man has seen Jesus, has seen something who he sees as a prophet, as the prophet. The man is seen to have the spiritual clarity that matches his now clear eyesight. Jesus has turned the world upside down. And he says that the healed man actually knows more, understands more clearly than the Pharisees, who were supposedly the professionals in knowing what God truly knows. Seeing God, seeing the face in the snow, seeing God at work. So may we all follow the words of Jesus. May we be the ones who are blessed. Jesus says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Amen. Please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So let us pray for the world and for the Church.
Jesus, light of the world, Son of righteousness, to you we bring our prayers. We pray for the peoples of the world, for all whose lives are shattered by warfare and violence. Particularly at this time, remembering the situation in the Middle East and praying for a quick resolution. We pray for the victims of incompetent and corrupt government and for leaders of nations, for our state and federal politicians, and for all those who administer the law. Jesus, light of the world, shed your purifying light on all places of destruction and death, that your people may live in justice and harmony. Jesus, make us children of the light, that we may see, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your Church. In the Anglican cycle of prayer today, we hold before you, Lord, the Anglican Church of Kenya, the Diocese of Melbourne, the Parish of Tara, for all liturgical assistance in parishes and schools, and for St. Paul's School, Bald Hills. We also give thanks for the work of the Church Missionary Society and hold before you all those missionaries sent from our local branch. We pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, for theologians, teachers, and students. Jesus, Son of Righteousness, shed the brilliance of your truth on our doubt and unbelief, that our hearts may be enlightened and our lives show forth your glory. Jesus, make us children of the light, that we may see. And in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the community in which we live, particularly at this time, our local education providers, Yeronga High, Mansfield High, Holland Park High, Mount Gravatt High, and Brisbane State High, and also our own little angels, Tarragindi, as they continue to work towards getting their operating license and planning their opening. Jesus, light of the world, shed the radiance of your love on all lonely and loveless places, that all your people may know their worth and live in dignity and hope. Jesus, make us children of the light, that we might see. And in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in trouble or need, for the sad and the brokenhearted, the lonely and the friendless, the sick and the dying, and all those who care for them. At this time, we hold before you, Lord, those who have asked for our prayers: Sandy, Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, Mary, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Honor, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine, Robin, Rose, and Mon. Jesus, Son of Righteousness, shed your warming rays on the cold and comfortless places of our lives, that in our tears and terrors we may not be alone. Jesus, make us children of the light, that we might see. And in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for your holy people of every age and for your faithful people of this parish whose yearly remembrance occurs at this time. Edna Elizabeth Geary, Edith Amanda Miles, Lindsay Robert Graham, Simon Roderick Eric Newsom, Veronica Evangeline Roger, Edith Isabel McCormus McKinnon, Michael Richardson, Shirley McLaren, Barbara Agnes Small, and Alan Morris Johnson. Jesus, light of the world, may we, with all your saints, be drawn to the light of your eternal presence. Jesus, make us children of the light, that we might see. And in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled and wandered far off. Let us then ask for mercy, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Five people on Zoom, peace be with you at home as well. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Lord of the Dance. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You give it us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God of mercy, may we who have shared in this holy meal know your forgiveness in our lives, bring your reconciliation to others, and be a sign of your wholeness in this broken world. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Our missional hymn, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. Thank you. good and gracious God deliver you from all that is evil, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.